morning, folks.
Greetings to each and every one this morning. A little damp outside, but it don't look like it's dampened your spirits. Everybody looks like they're in a good spirit this morning and cheery. Have a good week, everybody.
Amen.
Amen. Wasn't it a beautiful week? I mean, I just praise the Lord every day to, you know, we could have had ice and snow and everything, but it was so pretty and people could travel with safety and such, and it just made a good week for us. And so glad that you enjoyed. So glad that you're able to be back with us here this morning. We do have a few absent. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but we're glad that you're here. And we just want to praise God for his goodness. He is so good to us. So as we begin our worship service this morning, I want to share with you a few words from Psalms 101. It reads like this. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in the perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before me at my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A forward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whosoever privately slandereth neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, and they that dwell with me, he that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that talketh lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of thy land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. We're going to shut off all Satan's evil thoughts this morning and praise God for all of his goodness. Amen. Let's do it.
For our opening hymn this morning, we're using 428 first and last verse. Benny was the brother. So sad.
Walking in sunlight, all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep grave, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul.
God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we're so thankful that we have the privilege of being here. We thank you for the freedom that we have to come and express our faith and our love for you, dear God, to come together with the people of like faith and who love you, Heavenly Father, and who desire to serve Jesus and follow him. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each one present here this morning, and we pray with thanksgiving that you have provided for us in this past week and made it possible for us to be here once again. God, you're so good to us. We thank you for the many things that you've done for us in the past. We thank you last week, Heavenly Father, as we went through the celebration week of the birth of your Son, our Savior, that, Heavenly Father, it was a good week for our people, and we thank you for that. We just pray, Heavenly Father, that we will always keep in mind the birth child that came and lived among us and died on Calvary's cross and rose from the dead and now reigns on high by on your right hand, all for mankind, Heavenly Father. What a wonderful thing he has done. So help us as we praise him. And then, Heavenly Father, we ask that you look into our lives and you help us. We have difficulties, Heavenly Father, day by day, and we have different things we have to deal with. And so we pray for each person here this morning that you'll the Holy Spirit will work with them, guide them, give them encouragement, Help them to have insight on the things that you'll do for them this week, that knowing all things will work out because they have sought you today. Now we have, now we come to honor you and ask that you take this service to be a thanksgiving to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Have a communion hymn. We'll use 139, sing first and fifth verse.
Wounded for me, wounded for me, there on the cross he was wounded for me. God, my transgressions, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. Come in for me. Come in for me. One day to earth he is coming for me. Then with what joy his dear face I shall see. Oh, how I praise him. He's coming for me.
As we gather around the Lord's table, I'll be reading from Matthew 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. Even though I drink again of the fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this beautiful day that we can be inside and out of the rain and worship and study from thy word. We're thankful for the blessings you bestow upon us. We're especially thankful for this cup and this loaf which represents thy son, that through him we have life and have everlasting. Be with us in this service, God, guard and direct us. These words we ask and render.
Amen.
Our most holy Lord and Savior, we thank you both, Lord, for the offering and the giver. We ask you, Father, to please bless this offering that it might do the will of thy heart, Lord. We know that you are in control, and we know that thy will is what's best for this church, for this community, for this nation. We ask you, Father, to bless it, to multiply it, for the furthering of thy kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Again, good to see you folks, and thank you for being here. Even though it's a kind of a dreary day out there in Drizzly, well, you took the stint to come, and so we thank you for being here. It's quite encouraging. Share some thoughts here with you. Thank you for all the good greetings and gifts of last week and over the holidays, over the celebration. And we hope, again, and we know that being here, that you've just been here, and know that you had a good week, and you've expressed that. Thank the Lord for that. We have the fourth of our new year. We will have a fun food fellowship, and so we look forward to that, a good time. Hopefully the weather will be good, and we'll all get together and just have a great time. And no Bible study? So,
I don't know.
Okay, sir. Okay, let's try to get started the new year and having our Bible study. There's a whole lot of things we need to get to getting and doing, and so weather permitting, well, we will get back to that and get that on a regular basis and stay with it. We've got a couple other things that we need to be doing that we'll be talking about later on. And so nothing else taking place. A lot of things took place. We thank you for being a part of those things that took place over the last few weeks, and it was so good to see the holiday season go so well, and heard some good things across the nation that took place and so forth, and that was great. And I just hope that that will be a great reminder to people that we need to really look to God, and God is so good, and hopefully that people will have that thought again in their mind. As we look then, we notice around us we have several people absent this morning because of illnesses. And some of you folks have just recovered from illness, and a lot of people have suffered that. We know of several people that we know of that has suffered fairly bad about the virus is the thing that's going around. Two or three people we know that had flus, and so it's a kind of a that kind of season. And so we want to pray against that and pray for those that are not with us. Fanny has got the bug, and I guess Bergen, he's sick, and Jerry and Judy are not here this morning. And I didn't look for them because of the rainy day, but Jerry's the one. I thought when they left last Sunday. Oh yeah, I should have sung the song, didn't I? Didn't do it, did I? Oh, okay, yeah, I got you. I thought Judy wasn't feeling well, and probably she might have thought I was insulted her when I had Maxine to call and see about her, but it was Jerry. And so I heard Maxine tell Jerry that I thought Judy didn't look well when she left, and if she took that, she might have thought that was a kind of an insult, but Jerry was sick. So Jerry went to the doctor, and this first of the week, and so hopefully, I haven't talked to him the last two or three days, so hopefully things is going okay for them. Let's see, Fanny, Jerry, and Bergen, and who else is missing back here? Vernon's not with us this morning, Virgil is absent this morning. He was getting ready to come. He called Doodle, and I think he was Sharn and so forth, and he got sick, and so he's not able to be here. Pauline's here today. We're glad that she's here. Amen. And let's see, who else is missing? Help me out here.
Virginia.
Oh, yeah, Virginia. Yeah, okay. Virginia's missing.
She has company.
What about Debbie? Is she okay? Oh, there's Debbie back there. You're hiding behind Sierra there.
And the kids.
Who?
And the kids. Some of the kids
yeah.
are here,
yeah.
But oh. Isaac got out of the hospital yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And Caleb has got the bug in bed with it.
Okay. Okay. She got those. Let's see. What else we got here? A lot of things happening to different people, and a lot of good things are happening, and yet we are affected by some of these things. So just go over a prayer list, keep them in your heart, your mind, and keep in praying for them. And as you see that Omer's back today, he missed last Sunday. He's just hardly ever misses a Sunday. But we just pray that he'll continue to be strengthened and be strong and be with us. And so we thank the Lord for that. Our service people, our nation, hopefully you know we've had this vacation for all the leaders of the nation and so forth, and hopefully that they took a little bit of quiet time and are away from everybody, and when they come back, maybe they'll get their hearts and heads back together and for some good and so forth, and get some good things going for this nation that we so love and so God has so blessed. And so pray earnestly for those people as they come back, that they will be in a mood to do some things well. Also, we have Tom Sullivan, which is Donna's nephew, is going to have three bypasses Monday. He's 55 years of age, and so we want to be in prayer for him Monday, that these things will go well. Isn't it wonderful how the doctors can work and so forth, and those things does they really do good. And so we look forward and we pray that God will bless this man with this, with good things. I'm probably leaving somebody out. The people that's in the care homes and those people that care for them, keep them in your prayers, and it just be. God is so good. I don't understand how God can reach out, but he's a big God. And he knows all that's going on. He knows what's happening. He knows what's taking place with people in their lives. And he's able to do the unthinkable and the impossible and make all things available and able in that way. So God is so good. We continue to praise him. Okay, let us, anything else anybody want to share? Okay, let us end. Have our prayer hymn. Are you going to make it up back or are you? Okay, he's going to his chair. What is the number?
99.
99. He's got it right open here for me. That's right. Let's sing the first verse of 99. We go to our prayer time. God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, it is just a joy to be able to come before you, take a little time out to talk with you, dear God, and just give you thanks for all the great things you've been doing in our lives, that you've been done for our country, for our world. The greatest thing you ever did for mankind was love us and send your Son to go to be the sacrifice for our sin. How great and wonderful that is, and we're so thankful for that. But then, Heavenly Father, we live day by day, and we know that you're a great provider, and this past week you have shown us once again your great hand of love that has provided for us. And Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that you bless us in all ways. We know, Heavenly Father, we have difficulties, we have problems, we have illnesses, but we look to you, dear God, and you bring us through it. Sometimes it's pretty tough, but yet as we think about you, Heavenly Father, and your help, we know, Heavenly Father, that you bring us through in a good way. And so we thank you for that. We pray earnestly, Heavenly Father, for those that we've mentioned on our prayer list, those, Heavenly Father, that are not able to be with us, especially this morning. We pray, Heavenly Father, for health and for strength for them. We pray for those, Heavenly Father, that's going to go for operations this week. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that your guiding hand will be with the doctors and those who care for them. Things will work out well there. We are so thankful, dear God, for the hospitals and the people that operate those, and the hospital staff, and the doctors, and the nurses, that they're servants of yours, and we thank you, and they serve the people well. And we pray, Heavenly Father, you'll bless their work and their labors. We pray, Heavenly Father, you'll richly bless them for their labors, Heavenly Father. Those who care for those who can't care for themselves, how wonderful it is to have people who have compassion and love for those who can't care for themselves, and will help them. We pray your blessing upon them, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, where we might have fallen short. We know, Heavenly Father, we're not perfect, and we're striving to be more perfect day by day, but we'll never reach it until Jesus comes. But help us to do those things which are good in your sight. Help us to seek you in all ways, Heavenly Father, in the things we do. Help us to be mindful of our fellow men and those of our, especially of our brothers and sisters in Christ here, Heavenly Father, that anything that we can do to help them and to make life more pleasant and enjoyable for them, help us to do that, Heavenly Father. But now, Heavenly Father, we come to you, and we want to just praise you and thank you. And we ask, Heavenly Father, your help in each life. Help those that are not with us, we pray, to be well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's been a long time since I sang, so, but this is by request.
Thank you. When I think upon Christmas, words can express how our Father in heaven has sent us his best. To be born in a manger, the King in the hay, and creation will worship his name. For the joy of the world he was born, bringing peace to us all through the gift of the Son. Now the darkest of ages are done. For the Savior of heaven follow your light, with the angels I'll lift your name high. For the joy of the world you were born, bringing peace to us all, the gift of your love. Now the darkest of ages are done. For the sake God of the heavens had us on his mind. Let us sing of his glory, rejoice in his name. O Emmanuel with us always, and forever his kingdom will reign.
Thank you, Michael and Kathleen, or Kathleen and Michael. Thank you for your special music. We certainly appreciate all you folks that share with us from time to time. We encourage that. Chapter 9, verse of Book of Luke, 57 through 62. If you will bear with me as I read them. And we will, later on we will find out Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's within about a year of the cross when this is taking place. And it says here, and it came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. So Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of the God. And another said unto him, Lord, I'll follow thee. But let me first go bid thee farewell, which are at my, let me go bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. That is going to be my preaching theme for this year. You might help me with a couple different words, but so far I've got, you know, put your hand to the plow. And underneath that's going to be naturally following Jesus. We're going to put your hand to the plow and follow Jesus. I won't speak much of that passage this morning. Just want to share with you a little bit about the seriousness of following Jesus. But we'll be all over that chapter. Chapter 9, before we're done. And we'll be talking individually about these men and their excuses. And we'll be talking about what Jesus meant when he says, let the dead bury the dead. And no man is fit for the kingdom that puts his hand to the plow and looks back. So we're going to do some plowing this year, hopefully. And just be in prayer for me as I finish these. I've got to about half a dozen of them already rolling, and hopefully they'll be encouragement to you. But this morning, let us think about the seriousness of following Jesus. Jesus had just discussed here with three people, and I think, and I'll share later on in other sermons, I think what Jesus said, do you know how serious it is if you follow me? These three disciples came up with excuses. I think they realized that after Jesus spoke back to them, and that's why they come up with what they did. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? If we talk about following today, what comes to our mind? Everybody would think following on Twitter. Isn't that the thing, the Twitter thing? You got a Twitter? I don't have a Twitter. I'm glad of that. But I hear people talking about their tweeters. Follow me on a tweeter. Sometime back, Prime Minister Stephen Harper, he had 167,960 Twitter followers. And that's what some people think when they talk about following, just get on Twitter. During his time, President Barack Obama had 10,083,001 Twitter followers. And who in the world could know how many Twitter followers are following President today? Wow. But we're talking about following Jesus, not on Twitter, but following him in our daily lives. To some, it sounds real simple. To some people, thinks following Jesus is just showing up at church with 1 hour each Sunday. But folks, let me tell you, it's more serious than that. When we get into the scripture, we see very plainly it's more serious. And Jesus will tell us as we go along. Following Jesus means a life-changing commitment. It's sad to look around and see people that say they're following Jesus and their life has never changed. If they make a commitment, they don't keep it very long. That's why I'm not going to talk about New Year's resolutions. Heck, you didn't even make it through January last year, did you? Just drop those things. Let's get on to serious business. Following Jesus means to make a very personal, individual decision. It's not mom and dad's decision. It's not anyone else's. It is your personal decision. It is a choice that every man and woman, boy and girl, is offered, and they must. And I put emphasis on that, friends. I think Jesus did very plainly. You must make a choice. You will make a choice. You have made a choice. Following Jesus is not about religion at all. We find different denominations and religions telling us that there's dozens of ways to follow Jesus. And the teaching of the apostles. I'm not saying that salvation is just for a few, a small group. I'm not saying that at all. I've made that plain before. I truly believe that God intended salvation for people from all walks of life, from all nations. I believe that everyone who has accepted Jesus, put their hand to the plow, and doesn't look back, will be those that will be in the group when Jesus comes and makes a judgment and separates them and sheep on the right hand. They will be there. Matthew 25:33, Jesus says, at judgment, he will divide the sheep from the goats and set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Friends, it is the sheep of his pasture that will roam the halls of heaven. To be serious about following Jesus, we must have, number one, a desire. A desire to follow. A desire is a strong feeling that impels one to attain or possess something. When a person desires something or someone, their senses or longing is excited. You men, when you longed for your life, your wife, when you desired to have her, you didn't fool around, did you? Some changes took place in your life. Same way with Jesus. A desire is a longing and exciting by the enjoyment of the thing or the person that you long for. And you take the action to make it possible. People who want to follow Jesus have to have a desire to follow Jesus. A Christian is a person that has a desire for a right relationship with God and a desire to follow Jesus. We sing there's joy in serving Jesus. Folks, if you are not experiencing joy in following Jesus, you may be falling far off. Peter in Mark 14:54 says, Peter followed far off. And do you remember what happened to Peter when he followed far off? He found himself with people he didn't need to be with. He found himself with the wrong people when he followed far off. And I say to you this morning, kindly as I can, if you're following far off, you're going to find yourself with wrong people. Young people, listen to me. If you're following Jesus far off, you're going to wind up with people that you don't need to be with the wrong people. Peter found himself where? In trouble. The scripture says Jesus followed afar off. He found himself with the wrong people. He found himself in big trouble. That's what happens when you follow far off. To be serious about following Jesus, one must have faith in Jesus and who he is. You must believe in Jesus and who he is. How many people have you heard in the last few years try to tell who Jesus is, and they don't really know who Jesus is? Some try to make, you know, even in the scripture, they said, well, isn't that the carpenter's son? Yeah, it is. But that's Jesus. That's the Son of God. And to know, for you to follow Jesus, you need to know who he is. Who he is. It's serious. Those words are so serious. And we must not take them lightly. If Jesus, when Jesus speaks to you to come follow him, he means business. And when you say, Jesus, I will follow you, you need to mean business, friend. To be serious about following Jesus, one must have faith in Jesus and who he is. To follow Jesus, one must believe that he is the Son of God. There is some that don't believe that, and some that say he's not. But if you're going to follow him, you must know who he is. And you must believe that he is the Son of God. He is the one that was saved. He was one that would come into the world and seek and to save him or her that is lost. If you're going to follow Jesus, you must believe that. You have to believe that. That's the truth of it. To follow Jesus, we must have faith in Jesus. We must believe that he went to Calvary in our place, that he died on a cruel cross. He shed his blood to cover our shame and our filth of sin and cleansed us from all sin. From the world's darkness of sin, he cleansed us and made us white as snow. Beautiful hymn that says that, doesn't it? To be serious about following Jesus, one must be totally committed to his cause. You go down and you can join the Lions Club. You can join the Masons, Kiwanis Club, the Moose Club. But if you do, you have to be committed to their cause. And when we commit to follow Jesus, we must commit to his cause. Following Jesus is a life-changing commitment that is to be taken serious. It breaks my heart, and it's so sad when you see people come and they say, I want to follow Jesus. And they'll even go into the baptistry and rise out of the baptistry and go out, and there's no commitment there. There's no commitment. It's just selfish doing. Go to Walmart or any other store that you want to, as far as that goes, and you will see people displaying all kinds of things. a number of different kinds of symbols, really, to what they're doing. They're trying to set forth a mark or a symbol, and they're saying, trying to say, I'm following Jesus. You will see chains around their neck with different sized crosses. You will see T-shirts with all kinds of verses on them. You will see tattoos all over them, and they'll have Jesus' name on them. They'll have some, maybe a verse or something. You see that wherever you go. You drive down the highway, and you see cars that has on the bumper sticker, I'm following Jesus. They'll have pictures in the window, or what are your bulletins in the window claiming they're following Jesus. But you know, some of those that I see going down the road, they ought to take their little sticker off the way they drive. But you see that. And I don't have any problem with people wearing chains and crosses, T-shirts with scriptures on them. But you know, here's one of the things that I have to think. I have to thank it because it's a proven fact. It proves out. If you follow some of them, I'm not saying all of them, but if you follow some of them, I'll say most of them. If you go into Walmart and you follow most of those that's got some kind of symbol on them that says they're following Jesus, I'll guarantee you, my friend, that they won't be following Jesus. It's just a surface thing. It's just a thing that they think is the end thing. It's a superficial thing. But if you're going to really follow Jesus, you have to be totally committed to Him, totally committed to His cause. Nothing else, as we'll see later on in other, as we get into those other verses. Nothing. Nothing. Must come before you if you're going to follow Jesus. Better than all those pens, though, you know. And again, I don't have any problem with the pens, the label pen, label, the whatever you call it, pens, and the crosses on and chains and so forth. I don't have any problem with those. But I think, you know what would be better? I would rather see no chains, no crosses, no symbols. But I would really love to see Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Those are the things, those are the symbols that you will have that will show forth that you're following Jesus. And that's a good verse where you get down, folks, is Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And most of you probably knew that. And it says, you know, if you're following Jesus, here's a symbol that people will see. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against which there is no law, Paul says. There's the symbols. There's what people are going to see if you truly are following Jesus. I'm sure that there are people that really want to follow Jesus. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced that there's people in this community that want to follow Jesus. There's probably people where you work and people where you go to school, young people, that really want to follow Jesus. But they're probably just thinking they're not worthy. They're not good enough. And maybe it's been demonstrated by some of those symbol wearers that's just superficial that helps them to come to that conclusion. But I assure you, whoever you are and wherever you are, if you want to follow Jesus, if you want to become a disciple of Jesus, let me assure you that He loves you and He will accept you.
His love for all is equal. I read in Acts 10, 34 and 35 in particular, and this is a story where Peter was sent to Cornelius. And this is what Peter said. You see, Peter was against Gentiles following Jesus. He thought that only Jews were the special people, and they were the only ones that were going to get to follow Jesus. But God had to straighten him out. And most of you know the story, but I just want to remind you here that when he went, this is what he said. He said, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear or honor him and do what is right. They are accepted of God." Acts 10, 34 and 35. Peter said, prejudiced Peter said that. I now realize, and you and I need to realize, that God's love reaches out to everyone. And if we're going to be disciples, and disciples are people who are learning of Jesus, and when we learn of Jesus, Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you do what I do and you make disciples. And if you're going to make disciples, the first thing you've got to do is tell those people who feel unworthy that God loves them. And they too can have the joy and privilege of following Jesus. Acts 10 and 36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord over all. Look down on nobody, my friend. Jesus loves the little, the big and the small. Jesus loves them all. He's Lord over all. Jesus not only said that he loved us, he proved it. He proved it. He paid the ultimate price, his life for us. In return, Jesus only asked that we follow him. Jesus only asked, come, follow him, who gave his all for you and for me. And here's the reason he spoke these words to the people, and he speaks them to you and me today. When Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't walk in the darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. Jesus is the light of the world. Are you following Jesus? Let me ask you a question. And yeah, you know, you're sitting here this morning and you would try not to let on, let me say, that things aren't going right and good. But let me ask you, maybe you know somebody that's this way. Their life is just simply messed up. Your life's been messed up, and have you felt like you're walking in perpetual darkness? And that's what it is when you're not following Jesus. People are walking in the darkness of the world, and Jesus said the world is full of darkness. And only those who follow him will walk in the light, because he is the light. How about your life? Difficulties, facing some troubles, questions you don't have answers for, problems you can't solve. Here's your answer. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. He can lead you into a better hope-filled and blessed life. And if you're living that and you're following Jesus, the one thing you have to do, is to share it with somebody else. Share it with somebody else. Someone shared with you the light of life, and you begin following Jesus, walking in the light, and you got to share it with somebody else. We're going to plow new ground this year, plant some new seed. We're going to see people come and follow Jesus. Those people that are around us out there we know of, some are just waiting for you to tell them how that God loves them. Somebody out there that you know that feels like they're unworthy just needs for you to tell them how God loves you and how you need to come and follow Jesus. Oh yeah, we sing, He's the reason for the season. He's the reason for life, friends. He's the reason for eternal life. He is alive. Let me ask you, do you want to get serious about following Jesus? Are you serious about following Jesus? If not, won't you get serious as we sing a song this morning, the first hymn, first verse of our hymn, the first verse of our hymn. Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house, and pray for me, and hopefully that I'm going to give you some encouragement. I hope the Lord will give me the right words to say to you to encourage you through this, and we're going to plow up some ground. We're going to plow this gospel up for the planet everywhere. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Hope to see you next week. God bless you. And as we leave, Ron, would you ask God's blessing upon our people? Thank you. Wherever you go, the watchword is what? Follow Jesus.